Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We really hope that you find it encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, why don't you visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
Okay, so we're going to be continuing in our series called Kingdom. It's a mega series, all right? And so what we've been doing is we've been looking at different areas about the kingdom of God. So we looked at the start about the cross of Christ, and we looked in about the authority of the believers. And today I'm going to start at something which I'm really excited about. Okay, I'm going to nail my colors to the mast real early and go, I am super excited about the next 8 or 9 weeks. And the point is this, we are going to look at this subject over 8 or 9 weeks. Why? Because you can't do it any less than that, even when I was preparing. So what I want to encourage you to do is this, is stick in with us, because there is a way that we were going to teach this where you start at the start and you get to the end, and everything 1 week will build on the other. Is that okay? So please try your best to come along and not to dip in and out, because this will make a lot of sense to you. And do you know what? I really want to expand my heart for this series, because it's amazing to me that something that's so incredible, something that's so wonderful, something that's so in need, and something that is meant for our good can cause so much division and so much strife. I have a good understanding of that in my life, and I'm really happy that today, for the first time, I'm able to express my heart and the heart of Exchange Church and my conviction, because I've never been able to do this before. And I'm going to be talking about the area of healing. All right? And it's about physical healing, yes, absolutely. But it's also about, there's a much wider extension to the whole healing subject, all right? So this is not just about just looking at verses and unpacking this and doing that. Do you know what? There's way more to it than that. And that's why I'm happy for us to take this amount of time to go through this subject. Do you know why? Because you're going to learn so much more than just about healing. And I'm going to explain that in a wee moment. Okay, now why are we doing it at this time? Why are we speaking on this subject at this time, in this place? What is the point? Well, let me tell you what the point is not. All right, in Titus 3:9, we read this verse. Let's avoid foolish disputes. Let's avoid genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and they are worthless. Now, I want to tell you today that this is not about the Exchange Church defending a theological position or about point scoring. That is not even close to my heart. I want to tell you that. It is as far from my heart and my thinking that, you know what? I wasn't even going to mention it, but that is not the point. Do you know why? Whenever you get into debates about, well, what about this and what about, all of a sudden, the Word of God tells you clearly, that's useless and it's worthless. There's something much greater on this subject that I want us to discover. And it's, you know this? Here's what it is for me. Turn in your Bibles. Get your Bibles ready, because we're going to be looking at a lot of scripture this morning. So get those out and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. So my point is this. We're not interested in point scoring. We're not interested in just believing right. We're interested in this. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. He said, I want Christ to dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ. Now that's to know, to experience, not to know in your head, but to actually in your life experience God, the love of Christ, which goes beyond anything that you can just think about. So your experience of God's love, your experience of God's grace has to go something way past useless and worthless arguments. That's my heart. You know, that you may be filled, because whenever you start to experience Christ that way, what happens is you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him, that's Jesus, who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. This is about the glory of Christ. This is about the glory of Jesus. This is about his name and his renown, and not anything worthless or useless. Trying to say those two together is quite tricky. Worthless or useless. Do you know what I mean? So there we go. See, many people get wrapped up in foolish disputes. And here's the point. Do you know what my heart for this is? And can I make it very clear? I am not so much interested in pointing you to lots of facts about healing, but about pointing you to the healer. Do you understand that? These 8 or 9 weeks are not about a position, but about a person. And his name is Jesus, and it's about his work and discovering more about the grace and the love and the work of Christ, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So let's not get mixed up at the very start. This series is about Jesus Christ, about his work from the very start of time to today until a final consummation when he gets back. And you know what? If we focus just on, people do this in the Christian walk, they focus on issues, they focus on subjects, and they miss the incredible Savior behind it all. His name is Jesus, and I'm going to point you to him. Isn't that good? So let's not lose sight of that. It's a series about an incredible God, an incredible Savior, an incredible work, and it's all about expanding our view and your view about the love and the grace of God towards you. Why? Because the more you start to understand and live in the goodness of the love and the grace of God, you know what? You start to be filled with the fullness of God. It's way, way more than just a theological topic. It's a window into something much more incredible. The way I can describe it today is this. It's like, you know those pictures that you have to look at? And they kind of look, you know, kind of like fractals, or they're kind of, and you have to stare, and people say, don't stare at them, stare through them. And all of a sudden it becomes a picture of like a horse or something. You know, one of those. I can never do those. They never work for me. And a horse, a car, whatever, a woman. I don't really know. But, you know, I would stare for hours at these things and look at it and go, I don't really know what that is. It just looks like a lot of things. And healing was a little bit like that for me. Because what worked out for me in my life was this. I used to look at the subject and I never really got it. It never came into focus for me. I could never see clearly what the picture was. And then as my journey into the love and to the grace of God towards me started to kick in, what I started to see in 3D, actually, and with Dolby surround sound, was the heart of God for me. And all of a sudden, instead of like my effort in trying to work out this whole subject and worked out what it meant and how did I bring my experience in and how does the word of God go in my experience, and which is all of that stuff went to the side when I discovered Jesus's love. And all of a sudden it became clear. And many of us approach healing like this. We're staring at it, we're looking at it, we're trying to work it out. And I tell you this, that sometimes when you do that, the picture never becomes clear. But whenever you start to look at Jesus, whenever you start to understand who he is, all of a sudden things will become very clear. The whole subject of healing will start to get into focus. And I want to encourage you in that. I'm sure that you have many questions this morning, because this topic has become something that is discussed sometimes by those who are not sick in almost abstract terms. Isn't that right? It's like a theological debate about this verse or that verse and the other verse. Let me tell you this. I've heard it said before, you know, that when it comes to healing, it's all about context, context, context. And if you don't get the context right when you look at this verse, then you're just going to go wrong. You're going to lead people down a wrong path. Let me tell you this. The greatest context of all for a Christian today is God's love. It's the context above all other contexts. Whenever you look at any bit of the Bible, whenever you read any, the meta-narrative, to use that theological expression, is this, is God loves you. He came into this world to save you, to make you whole, and so that you could ever be set right with him. So whatever the context is of the verses and the arguments that we're going to read, understand this, that the context that sits above everything is Jesus loves you. And he always will love you. He always has loved you. And whatever you come to read, and we're going to look at some pretty controversial things, and I'm not afraid of one bit of it. Do you know why? Because above it all sits a God of love and his heart of love. And it's just compassion for his people continually poured out again and again and again. And so let's not get stuck in things that are worthless and useless, and understand that Jesus today sits above everything we're going to look at, everything we're going to read. And he says, I love you. I love you. I am for you. I am for your best. I'm committed to everything that I have had being poured into you. That's my context. That's the whole picture. My Jesus pouring himself out for me so that I might be whole. I want to encourage you that that's the view that I believe is the biblical one. Now, but here's the thing. You might be sitting here today going, well, Andrew, I have some issues with this. And that's okay. You know, I remember I used to work in a bank, and one of my first company cars was a yellow sports car, okay? And it was absolutely beautiful. I loved it. And so I remember I had to go to Dundalk one day to do a call, and I was driving through Dundalk, and it was actually Fife's Bananas, okay, that I was looking for. And I couldn't find it. Fife's have a big banana factory, apparently. Not a factory, they package them. They don't grow them, obviously, in Dundalk, because it's freezing. And so Fife's, I'm driving around Dundalk looking for Fife's. And I pulled up beside this guy who was walking along the pavement. I'd been driving around for like 20 minutes at this stage. And I said, excuse me, I'm looking for Fife's. And he said to me, oh, do you work for Fife's? And I went, no. He said, well, you've got a banana car. And I went... actually, that's sporting yellow. That's not banana. But I asked him this question, and it really made me think at the time. I said, how do I get to Fife's? And only in Ireland, listen to this. He went, well, that would really depend where you're coming from. And I was like, got me. I went, well, I'm coming from here. And he went, well, in that case, what you do is you go down to the road. And I was sitting there stunned. Like, it really depends where you're coming from. You see, if you want to get somewhere, I've giggled about that for years. The point is this, whatever your view today about healing is, the question that has to be, I want to ask you today is, I want to take you on a journey, but you need to understand where you're at today, because if you don't know where you're at today, you're never going to arrive at the destination that I want to lay out. And the point is this, whatever your view today in this area about healing, the question I'm going to throw out to you is this, was it arrived at by study and by revelation and from the Holy Spirit through the Word of God? Because that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to ask you the question, and it's not to make you feel bad, it's not to make you feel condemned in any way, but to really understand, whenever you adopt a position on anything, you really need to understand that if you want to move from that position, how did you ever arrive being here in the first place? Where are you today? Because I want to take you somewhere where you have an incredible revelation of God's love for you. Because here's how it breaks down, okay? Generally, how it breaks down in the area of healing is, number one, people say God does not heal anymore. He just doesn't do it. The age of miracles that we read about in the New Testament and into the new church has passed away and it's now closed. Now, let me contend, it's absolutely impossible to teach that from the Word of God. Absolutely impossible. Why? Because I, Andrew Tugut, and my wife Penny completely and utterly can show that to be wrong. My dad, who's here today, was diagnosed with cancer 30 years ago. And you know what? He's still here today. Healed, restored by the blood of Jesus. So that point of view, I don't want to knock anyone who holds that point of view, but they really need to ask themselves a question. How did I ever arrive here? Because it's impossible from the Word to teach that position. But what about then this one? This is the biggie. Sometimes God will heal you and sometimes he won't heal you. Now, healing has become then an issue a bit like a mega game of Russian roulette. All right? Isn't that right? The dominant thought here is that God does not will for every believer to be well. God chooses some to be well, and he also, by default, chooses some people to be sick. He has chosen some people to receive the blessing of health and wholeness, but there are times where he's going to withhold it from other believers. God's blessing can come to you in the form of sickness, disease, pain, and death. And if it does, what you need to do is cross your fingers and just hope that your number comes up with God. Because sometimes he's going to heal you and sometimes he's not. Let me contend with you that this is also extremely difficult, if not impossible, to assert from the Word of God. It's riddled with inconsistency. It's riddled with difficulty. For me, this position totally misunderstands the nature of God, the character of God, the ministry of Jesus, the character of Jesus, the nature of our salvation. And I will unpack that week by week by week. It's very, very difficult to take that position from the Word of God. However, do you know what it's really easy to do? It's very easy to draw that conclusion from your experience. Isn't that right? What happens is, with people who think this way, there's come a time in their life where your experience or their experience or my experience or whatever is elevated over and above what God has revealed in his Word. What happens is this, you become the determination of what's true and you project it back onto God rather than accepting what Jesus said whenever he said, I am the way and I am the truth. What has happened is this, your experience has become truth. And what we say is, well, if this is what I am living, then this is all for, by default, this is what God is like. And your experience is projected back onto God. And then we get in a total mess as we try to make the Word of God fit our experience rather than going, do you know what? My experience needs to come up to what the Word of God says. Because there's that kind of thinking, and I'm going to unpack that over the next number of weeks, is incredibly dangerous because it neutralizes faith, it kills expectancy, and actually it totally misrepresents Jesus Christ because he is healer. In his nature, he says, and from the very start of time, I am the God who heals you. And I'm going to tell you what that means from the Old Testament to the New, that whenever he said that, he was not just talking about sin, he was talking about this. He was talking about your physical body. And I think we need to be very careful because if I hazard a guess, that's probably where most of us sit today, isn't it? Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. We just need to throw ourselves onto him and just hope that today he's loving us. Not true. Absolutely not true. It's a bit like a roller coaster. I cry like a baby when I'm on a roller coaster. Seriously. People love them, okay? The last time I was on a roller coaster, I had heart palpitations. No, properly. They almost had to stretch me out at the bottom and give it all that, you know, because I literally, I probably had, You know, I just didn't have a good time. That's all I'm going to say. Now, if you were to ask me, and the guy who was sitting beside me got off and he loves it. His name's Aaron Boyd, okay? And he's like, this is amazing. And he wants to do it like kind of naked, going upside down, all this kind of stuff. It's like, get the biggest thrill you can. Whereas I literally, I'm shaking. You know what I mean? He may be not naked. Where did that come from? I'm talking about seeking. Anyway, keep digging. Yeah, let's just pray for Aaron right now. Yeah. For anyone who's got mental unhealthy pictures, let's just pray for the Lord right now. So the point is this. If you ask Aaron about his experience of a roller coaster, he absolutely loves it. If you ask me, I absolutely detest it. Now, which one is true about the roller coaster? What he says or what I says? Because I'll argue my point that mine's just as valid. And that's what we do with healing. I think, you think. Well, absolutely in the middle, there needs to be truth. And it's Jesus. He says, hold on a minute. I'm the truth. What I say is the truth. What I demonstrated is the truth. Not what you think or not what you feel. It's what I say. And what we're going to be looking at is what Jesus says about this whole area. Let's not elevate our experience over the revealed word of God. Not at all. Let's just not do it. I want to tell you this, that the third position, rather than God never heals or sometimes, is I believe this. It is always the heart and the will of God that you be well. Yes. Always. Big statement. That is my position. I want to tell you this, that the issue is not is healing provided, but is it received? Because sometimes it's received and sometimes it's not. And actually, that's the real issue. And to this, what I want to do this, and whenever you approach it with this kind of view, what it means is that we don't get to create what is true, but instead we have to look at Jesus and his work and his word. And do you know what? People who hold this view sometimes say, that's kind of like it's an awful position because you put people under pressure. And what about in their lives when it doesn't work? We're going to handle all that. We're going to look at all that, and it's nothing to be afraid of. But you know what? I believe that actually this is the most humble position, because it's actually not being afraid to say, do you know what? There's a gap between what God says and what I live. You know what, church? I want to tell you, even as the pastor of this church, I am not afraid to admit that. That there are times in my life when I read the word and I think, God, I would love to see that fully in my life, and I don't. Now, does that mean that God doesn't love me? No. Does that mean that I'm not good enough? No. Does that mean that God has changed his heart towards me? No. What it just means is that I need to see a greater revelation of Jesus and his work in my life so that my experience starts to rise to where the word is. There's nothing wrong. This is not a proud position. It's not a kind of, you know, it's about actually going, do you know what? I'm big enough and man enough to say, I don't know it all. And that's a great place to start. Because we're all on a journey of going, do you know what, God? I'm going to discover more and start to understand. This is the prayer of Paul in Ephesians, that we would be enlightened. To be enlightened is a process of seeing more and more and more about Jesus and who he is. So today, if you're thinking, I see this much, and the person beside you sees that much, it doesn't matter. Paul's prayer to God for you is this, that each one of us would start to see more. But at no stage would we ever say, well, do you know what, God, I'm going to take your word and just make it fit where I'm at today. You don't get to create truth. I don't get to create truth. You know why? Because Jesus is truth. He is the truth. He lived it. He embodied it. And he said in John 14:6, I am true. I know it's difficult sometimes to hear that. But that's why I want to say our context is God's love. Because the whole time God's going to be drawing you and pulling you to see more of his love for you through this subject. And you know what? You know, I started to talk about it last week, and in the weeks to come, we're going to cover off stuff about faith. We're going to cover off stuff about different bits of the Bible. Does it mean this? Does it mean the other? You know, and actually, there's nothing to be afraid of. I understand that this can be very difficult. Do you know why? Penny and I are human. You know, anyone who was here last week heard our experience. You know, there's times, you know, I, in my body, have to struggle with things, you know what I mean? When you're an athlete like I am, so highly toned and, you know, things, you know, whereas you people can just do normal things, I slightest little thing can set me off. And the point is this, I know what it's like to experience hurt and pain and loss, but you know what I'm going to ask you to do over these next 8 weeks is, it's really important to do this. I'm asking you that whatever your experience is, lay it to the side. Even if you're walking through something today, I'm going to ask you that that doesn't take center of your thought. Do you know why? Because God is here. He wants to say to you, do you know what? Your past disappointment, your past hurt, and even your current position, I understand it. I know where you're at, but I want you to experience more of my love, more of my wholeness. I want to encourage you and enlighten you, and I want to heal you. I want you to walk in the healing that I have for you, but you can't hold on to both. It's very hard to receive the goodness and the love of God if you won't let go of your past hurt and disappointment. And it's really important for me to say that. We came to a point in our lives in the area of children where we had to go, do you know what? Despite where our hurt and our pain is, we're going to have to set that down. And the grace and the love of God poured into us helped us to do that so that we could start to receive the goodness of God and the love of God. And I'm going to explain what that means. So is that good? Let me just rattle through some things very quickly. I want to tell you this. The other reason why we're talking about this at this time is this is the nature of kingdom. Okay, whenever Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he announced something incredible. I want to tell you, there is no sickness and no death in heaven. It's done with. That's why Jesus, we sang this morning, death couldn't hold him. It's part of the old kingdom and not part of our inheritance today. Jesus is never going to let you inherit death. It was never part of his plan. And whenever he announced your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I want to tell you that healing and wholeness is a major part of this kingdom. And that's why we're going to talk about it. From the very start, God created man in wholeness. And actually, I'm going to come through that in the next few weeks, but whenever we look at Jesus, I want to just do this today. Jesus was a living illustration of the heart of God for you. If you are sitting here today going, I wonder what God thinks about this in my life. I wonder what God is saying to me about this area in my life. Do you know how you can know? You can sit and hum and go up a mountain and do all that and let God speak to you. And I'm sure if he speaks to you that way, fantastic. Do you know what I want to encourage you to do? Get into the Word of God and look at Jesus Christ. Because whatever Jesus did, you know that that was the heart of his Father. He actually said in John 10, verse 30, if you want to know what God's like, do you want to know what God's heart for you is? Do you want to know what God thinks about you and feels about you? Well, me and my Father are one. So whatever you see me doing, it's a direct illustration in 3D of the heart of God for you. So I want to tell you this. If you're trying to work out the heart of God for you in any area of your life and you just can't get it, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? What did Jesus speak? Because if you look at Jesus and you start to think about what he has done, then you'll start to see God's heart for you. Jesus used healing like a siren. It was like a bell to prove to people that he had power on earth to forgive sin. That's what healing was for him. And that whole thing was about bringing people back to the original creation, the original condition that he first made us in. It's a bit like this. I play golf like Tiger Woods. I can see the doubt and disbelief. Help them, Lord, in their unbelief. See, if I come and announce something like that to you, you're going to go, all right, too good. Let's see you drive a golf ball. You get me? So what was Jesus doing? Turn it with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 2. Okay, and we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left. When Jesus saw their faith, Mark 2, and we're going to read 5 through 12. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sons are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, son, your sons are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins, boom, turns to the paralytic. He says, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house. Immediately he arose, he took up his bed, and he went out into the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen anything like this. Now, if Jesus was just a man, like any other ordinary man, it would have been impossible for him to say either rise up or your sins are forgiven. Completely impossible. But Jesus here in Mark 2 does both. Now, what's it easier to say? It's way easier to say to someone your sins are forgiven. Do you know why? Because you never see it. I can say to you all day long, your sins are forgiven, out you go. But how will we ever know? It's impossible. There's no result because we're talking about spirit and it's very hard until you start to see the fruit of something that happens in people's lives. At this point, in this time, if I say to some that your sins are forgiven, we don't really know whether it's worked. But if I say to you, rise up and walk, that's a whole different ballgame. Why? Because at this point in this time, it's either going to work or it's not. It's either going to be true or it's not. So what Jesus is saying this was his rationale. If I can do the really hard thing by saying, get up and walk. Have confidence then that I can forgive sin. Because if I was just a normal man, I couldn't do this. And what the rationale for us to understand is this. Jesus is making it clear that whenever you receive healing or healing was received in people's bodies, it was a clear demonstration that he was who he said he was. That if he could speak into your body and change the physical, then by all means, you can be sure that he will change you on the inside. Because it's much more difficult to say, get up now, and those paralytic legs, get up and start to work. And if he could do that, the scribes and the Pharisees went, oh, flip, he is who he says he was. And for you today, I want you to understand that whenever we start to look at this area of healing, you can have confidence that Jesus is who he says he is. Because as we go into this journey of seeing a demonstration of God's power, a demonstration of his work in your life, in your kids' lives, in your family's lives, you can be sure that when Jesus says something to you, he means it. Isn't that incredible? I'm getting excited. Sorry. I don't mean to shout, but I'm just so excited. So Jesus healed as a demonstration that he was God. He was Jesus. He was the Messiah. And if he could do physical and emotional, then he could definitely do spiritual. It was way more than words. Miracles, whenever Jesus performed them, and this is the same today, it authenticated who Jesus said he was, and it confirmed his word. He says in John 5:36, I have a greater witness than me. Than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And today it's the same thing. In Mark 16, verses 17 through 20, this is what Jesus said. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick. And guess what? They will recover. Why? Because whenever you see the kingdom of God actually working, all it does is it validates what God said. It validates the work of Jesus. And you know what? It takes it from being just something that we talk about to something that's lived and experienced, like Paul prays for Ephesians, and we start to see fullness. I don't want this to be something that we hold in our heads, because actually the whole point is this, is Jesus wants to authenticate and validate his word by demonstration of power. Isn't that amazing? And do you know what? He's going to use you. Don't look around you. He's going to use you. These signs will follow those who believe in me. If you believe in him, this means you. Doesn't mean the healing evangelist that comes through town. It doesn't mean the superstars who are on the stage or on the TV. It means you. I love that. I get excited about that. Now, what this does not mean is this. If there's a ministry where there's no signs or no obvious signs, that does not necessarily mean that that ministry is not from God. I need to say that. And also on the other side, it means that where you see plenty of miracles, we're not to just to accept every word that people say. But I want to tell you this, you can be a person that sees in your life and in the lives of those around you a demonstration of the Spirit's power. And every time people encounter the power of God, you know what it does? It tells them that Jesus is alive and real. That's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:4. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith shouldn't rest in the wisdom of men, because that's what it says in Titus. Arguments like that are worthless. Don't put your faith in worthless arguments, but in the power of God. So let me finish by saying this. I'm going to teach, you know, if you want to see a demonstration of God's power in your life, you know what? I think that our job here at Exchange is to teach it so that you can see it. You might think still, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about this. I have too many questions. I will say that's okay. It's okay to have questions because I've said that we're going to cover most of them off. But it's really important to engage. It's really important not to be lazy and to default to the same old attitude that you've maybe lived with for a lot of years. You see, what's happened is this. The message of salvation, and I'm going to talk about the nature of salvation, has been divided into parts. And if we don't talk about this area of healing, then we're not very likely to see it. You see, the truth is this. God confirms every word that we speak. Every one of his words that we speak, God confirms every single one. But if all we ever talk about is spiritual, eternal values, forgiveness of sin, then all we're ever going to see is conversions. I want to preach the whole message of Jesus. I want to preach the whole thing. Why? Because Romans 10:17 makes it very clear. Faith, the persuasion of who God is, and your experience of him comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you declare your conviction about this area, you'll start to see it. Why? Because as you read and you start to declare God's word, when you start to do that, understand this. When you start to get into the Word of God, you start to speak out the truth of Jesus and his ministry, God's Word and God's will are one and the same. There's no difference. We get confused about this, but I want to tell you this. If you want to see this in your life, you're going to have to get into the Word and look at the ministry of Jesus and look at the heart of God and understand that as you start to speak about that and talk about that and declare it over your life, that you're actually declaring the will of God over your life. Because as you speak out his Word, you're speaking out his will. There's no difference between them. And we've actually had people who divide up the Word of God and go, well, the salvation bit's fine, but this bit, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to mention it. And then we wonder why we don't see it. Because God will validate the words that are spoken. So as you start to speak out the words that are in the Word of God for you, that you're my healer, you're my restorer, you're the one who makes me well, actually you're speaking out God's will over your life, because his will and his Word are no different. You can't put a paper between them. So that's why this is going to be really important. Faith begins, and I said this on my Twitter during the week, if you want to have persuasion about God's goodness and God's love in your life, it begins when you know what the will of God for you is. You'll get to that place where his Word actually is his will for you. And you'll never operate in faith and be firmly persuaded about God's goodness if you're not sure that that's his will for you. Your persuasion in this area will start when you have a real understanding that that's his will. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why we're going to teach this. The last verse I want to leave you with is this. One of the things I really love, actually, is there's a beautiful consistency between the Old Testament and the New. And we're going to be looking at that, because people get really mixed up in this whole area of healing when they look at the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New. Actually, it's just one God. But he says something in Psalm 103, which I really love. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget all of his benefits. Don't forget them. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, read the Word and let the Holy Spirit show you. And don't forget them. Too many people forget all of his benefits. They talk about the salvation benefit and they forget about the healing, the restoration, the wholeness. But even back in the Old Testament, the word was this: don't forget all his benefits. What? Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. That actually is disease. And one of the things I'm going to do over the next few weeks is actually show you what these words mean. Because people go, oh, disease, that means when you're upset. No, it didn't. It means boils on your body. Okay? So he says this: don't forget all of his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity, sin, heals all your diseases, your body. He redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that you are renewed like an eagle. The Lord wants to satisfy you with good things. Let me just show you. I'm just going to do something here to finish. If the band want to come up. She might wake up and gurn. But I wanted to do this, actually. Hey, Pet, you on the ground? This is my daughter, Hope. Okay. I want to tell you this as we start this series. I literally would die for this little girl. There's never anything in my thinking that would ever want her to be sick, would ever want her to suffer, would ever want her to be without anything. And that's me, and I know all of my failings. I know where I get it wrong. But you know what the word says? Even if you, who are not perfect fathers, know how to love your kids, how much more do I love you? And so as you go from here today, I want you to know, do you know what? Every single day, I tell Hope this every day, that as long as I have strength in my body, that I'll defend her, protect her, provide for her, look after her, and if anyone comes near her, I'll do them in. In love. Actually, not in love. So if I can do that for my girl, don't you think for one minute that your heavenly Father thinks any differently about you? And we're going to discover a God of love, an incredible God with an incredible work. Let's stand.